This is the best. Do you hear me? Of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back here. Second hour of the show. Pete Futek, in a few minutes, he's going to tell us why Florida is going to be the surprise team in the SEC. Let's get back to the calls. And Mike in Iowa. Hello, Mike.
How are you, Paul?
Mike, we're doing great. Thank you.
I have a short question, but maybe it takes a long answer. What role do you see of the NCAA in major college football in the next 5 or 10 years?
That's an easy question. I don't think they'll have any role. I think the NCAA is barely involved today. They still have jurisdiction over legislation, but I think they are going to be pushed out of this entirely.
I tend to agree with you, Paul. I think they're probably done.
Yeah, I mean, there's still this transformation committee, which is in the process of revolutionizing college athletics. It's a great gesture. I'm afraid it's way too late to really make any meaningful impact other than press conferences where administrators get to stand up and pat themselves on the back. But ultimately, I think that part of the game is over.
I wonder if there won't be two separate leagues someday, a non-NCAA and maybe an NCAA college league and
I think that's entirely possible. Hey, thanks for the call. Jeffrey is in Hawaii. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
A pleasure to hear from you. Thank you.
Question. I've lived in Hawaii for about 10 years, and I follow the football team and the sports at University of Hawaii. This last year, they kind of forced out that former ASU coach, Todd Graham. I don't know if you heard about it. The players kind of did a little mutiny, and it wasn't a good scene.
He's had issues everywhere he's been.
Yeah, but anyway, they're always talking at UH about this culture that it's hard for a mainland guy to come in here and adapt to the culture of Hawaii, and they do this with all their sports, basketball, and I don't really see it. I don't see that. Isn't football once you get on the field, and all this other stuff about acclimating? You know, there's other schools in the country that also are supposedly harder for an outsider to come into. What's your feeling on that? Is that a real thing, or is it an excuse, or what would you think of that?
Well, I've been to two football games in Hawaii, and I didn't, other than the scenery, it seemed the same to me. I think it's I would defer to people that live there, and I certainly understand the cultural differences, but I don't think there's any difference between going coaching in Honolulu versus somebody who grew up in West Virginia and spent most of his life in the Midwest, going down to Baton Rouge and winning a national championship or something like that. I think, with all due respect to Hawaii, I think going to Baton Rouge is a totally more difficult culture than going into Hawaii.
Right, right. And it almost seems like they eliminate 90% of their potential candidates because they don't have some sort of a tie, either high school or grew up here or went to school here and did. I don't know. I just wanted another opinion on that.
But I will say, too, and obviously you've had successful coaches out there, but I think the biggest issue for Hawaii is keeping players there as opposed to going to USC or Alabama to be a star quarterback or elsewhere. And I don't think that's going to be very easy. If you had somebody who's part of the culture, is that going to keep Tungavailoa from leaving? No, absolutely not. Young players are going where the action is right now.
Right. Well, Hawaii will open at home against Vanderbilt this year. The Aloha Stadium was condemned, so they put up a sort of temporary on-campus stadium. Yeah, it's only got 15,000 seats.
Well, I think they're going to expand. That gives Vanderbilt an advantage.
Yeah. So what would you, I mean, I'm not asking for a prediction, but Hawaii's picked last in their division in the Mountain West. I don't know what Vanderbilt is.
No, well, let me assure you, Jeffrey, they're picked last in its division as well. I think it's a critical game for Vanderbilt because they don't have many chances to win this year. And considering that Clark Lee recently said that he's trying to become one of the best programs in the country, they better beat Hawaii. That's a must-win game for the Commodores.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for
talking
to me about that.
Yeah, so who you got in that game? I think Vanderbilt should win that game.
Yeah.
I mean, who did Vanderbilt beat last year in one of those they beat somebody in the way out west. I can't remember. Maybe Colorado State. But yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt does not have many opportunities. So that's week zero, big game. And it doesn't sound like Hawaii is in very good shape at all. Lucas is in Ohio. Hello, Lucas.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Lucas, thank you. We're doing great.
Good. Hey, I'm actually calling here as a Notre Dame fan out of Ohio. Essentially, my question is I want Notre Dame to get to the Big Ten. I want these mega conferences to happen. It'll help the college football playoff. But essentially, what it comes down to is I would love to see the SEC schools come up and play up north in the Big Ten conference late in the season when it's cold. I think this would be awesome for the game. The pros do it. You got to go up to Lambeau late in the season, play in the snow. And I would be curious as to what your take is on that happening once all this stuff rolls out. So I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see that, Lucas, in a playoff. I can't see any reason to see that during regular season. I mean, there used to be a window in November because I've been to a number of games in November in South Bend and in State College where you would have these great intersectional games. And, yeah, it was always more challenging for a Southern team to go have to play those games. But you're never going to see that again. It makes no sense whatsoever to play those games outside of the beginning. But, yeah, I think it would make a fascinating aspect to an expanded playoff to have first and second round home games, which was what the original plan was. It got shot down by the three conferences who needed it the most. And, I mean, can you imagine a Clemson-Michigan game in Ann Arbor or something like that? I think it would be great for the sport, and the sport needs things like that as opposed to the sterile stadiums that we currently have the biggest games of the year in. And don't forget, this year the national championship game is in the Rams Stadium in California. I went to that game 4 years ago in Santa Clara, and I've never been to a worse sporting event in terms of a lack of interest in the actual event where we were. Thanks for the call. Bill is in Napa, was not too far from where that game was. Hey, Bill, go right ahead.
I remember that game. It was at the sterile Levi Stadium. I remember that game, which you're talking about, too.
I haven't worn a pair of Wranglers since.
Hey, I want to talk to you about Napa's own Napa Cowboys old Brock Bowers, came on the scene last year, took everyone took it by storm, by surprise. We love him. I've been watching this kid since he's 10 years old. He's an absolute stud, as you know. SEC Freshman of the Year, and should have won the Mackey Award, in my opinion, and might be a little biased. But so this guy's coming in his true sophomore season. Is probably one of the top-rated players in the SEC, I would imagine. I don't see him playing, obviously, past his junior year because he'll probably be a top-10 pick. What do you see as far as him being projected as maybe the top tight end in the nation, Paul, and might go down as Georgia's all-time tight end? I think he is already. You know, ever.
Well, what do you see
first
of
all, Bill, thanks for the call from Napa. And he's got a lot of backup, too. And that's what makes Georgia so scary. When you look down that depth chart, I mean, he would be number one on any depth chart, but the number two isn't bad either. We'll take a break. We'll talk more about the upcoming season with somebody who has predicted it all, Pete Futak, joining us next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Have you seen college football news? If you haven't, we are going to share with you what they're saying. How about this? Pete Futak's group, Bama, Georgia, we know about. But what about next? A&M ahead of Arkansas. And Florida ahead of everyone. Let's find out more. Pete joins us. Pete, good afternoon. We'll start with, like the famous song by Ike and Tina. We'll start slow and then we'll make it a little bit faster.
Absolutely. Start slow.
So how did you do this? Proud Mary. Oh, I'm Proud Mary was the name of the song. But how did you come up with this? Because it is fascinating to me when you try to pick every game. It's a maddening experience.
Oh, dear gosh. It's been harder than ever, especially for the SEC. And, you know, really you go through each team and put the puzzle together and you kind of figure out the 50-50 matchups and timing. You know, who gets the big games when, who gets the week off, who gets the run of road games. But for the SEC this year, it's just harder than ever because, like you said, obviously Alabama's great, obviously Georgia's great. But this whole idea that's floated out there in the expansion world of, oh, we're going to have these two super conferences, and, oh, it's going to be, you know, the professionalization of college sports. Well, we're there, and we've been there for a long time, and it goes to show what the SEC is this year, which, you know, the old NFL saying on any given Sunday, well, with the transfer portal and the talent level that's been jacked up now for every single team, on any given Saturday, South Carolina, you know, they just got themselves a quarterback in Spencer Rattler, who it's not insane to say he might turn out to be the best pro quarterback of the bunch. They could beat anybody on any given Saturday. Arkansas can beat anybody. Mississippi State, if that offense works, if Ole Miss, that offense works. And so it's harder than ever because the talent level has gotten so crazy. And then all this trying to predicting records could all blow up fast. Because the flip
side of this, Pete, that's prediction. So tell me this. Who is Alabama going to lose to, and who is Georgia going to lose to first?
I would say Alabama's got a tougher road to hoe than Georgia. So Alabama, you've got to say maybe Ole Miss in the middle of the of November.
Hold on a second. Alabama's going to lose to Ole Miss?
in the middle of November on the road, coming off the LSU game on the road. It should be rolling for them. But the problem for, you know, if it's not Ole Miss, who else is it going to be? I mean, Arkansas could catch them on the road on the right day. So it's just, if you look at their schedule, is it going to be at Texas?
Well, you've already said Ole Miss. We'll leave it there. What about Georgia?
Georgia's got a little bit tougher of a slate. You start with Oregon. That's a tougher game that I think Georgia fans are going to watch.
Pete, but you have them losing a conference game.
Tennessee. That's, again, early November, one of those dog day road, or actually home games for them, coming off the game against Florida. That seems like the right time, but if it's not them, it could be at South Carolina, it could be at Kentucky, at Mississippi State. Georgia's got more landmines to sidestep than Alabama's got.
So you have them losing to, I'm sticking with the original, Ole Miss and Tennessee. Let me get to the one that's already drawn the most attention here. And you're assuming they beat Utah in the opening game. Tennessee loses three games, but wins nine overall, Florida wins nine games, beating Utah. I'll get this right eventually. That means that of Kentucky at Tennessee, Missouri, LSU, Georgia at A&M, South Carolina, Vandy, and Florida State, you have them only losing three games.
I'm a believer in the Billy Napier system and a believer in the talent there. That last year was just a little bit of an outlier because they had to replace. They had to do such a pivot from the high-octane passing game that they had the year before. Bring in Napier. Anthony Richardson, the absolute perfect guy for this, to run this offense. Brings in a couple of key parts from the Raging Cajun attack that ran so well. And so this offense should hit the ground running literally right out of the gate. And the talent is there on defense. You're right, though. Utah is a nasty game to open up with. Kentucky is a nasty SEC game to open up with. Both of them at home, though. So the goal here is to try to get it close to the pin, one win, one loss, one way or the other. So this is like an 8-4-ish, 9-3-ish
you've already answered the question, but if you throw that schedule back up on the screen again for another second, you have them losing three games. I could easily say they could be 1-2-3. They could be 1-3 without even breaking a sweat before the 25th of September. Great prediction, but that to me is going way out on a limb.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Florida. I mean,
Pete, hold on a second. What state do you live in?
I live in the state of Illinois.
Okay.
I'm aware, yeah.
You are aware of the revolving door, better known as the University of Florida, since Urban Meyer left, are you not? Do I need to remind you of Muschamp, Mackle, Wayne, Mullen?
I have spent the last
four years.
Billy Napier's agent owes me money. I've been stumping for this guy. The problem coming out of when he was the offensive coordinator at Arizona State, he was too young. So he needed that step-up gig first, took Louisiana and made him rock over the last 2 years. If that were – in the way he sort of conducted himself, that should all work. I'm not sure if it happens that fast. But, again, you're right, though. I mean, that's the crazy part about coming up with all this because – You're dead on right. Utah.
Pete, I'm going to act like I've never met Billy Napier and don't know anything about him, which is untrue, of course. I like him a lot. But sell the nation that doesn't know much about Billy Napier why you are so high on this guy.
Very, very mature beyond his young age. He's the new era type of coach that you want where he gets it. He first of all, very innovative in the way he's able to conduct an offense, very good at being versatile with what he does with it, but it starts with a running game that requires a quarterback who can do a little bit of everything, and Florida's got that. It requires running backs who can get in space, and this offense should be able to do that. And for him, he is fantastic at being able to just delegate other parts to this. So he's not going to be the guy who shakes his fist at the cloud and says, oh my gosh, the transfer portal, NIL rules. He's going to be the one who designates, all right, we need a true division for that, and he's got a CEO mentality about the way he does things that overall, maybe not this year, but over the course of his time at Florida, he's going to, I really kind of think he's going to be that coach who fits the modern era just about as well as anybody else.
How good can he be?
I mean, extremely. I mean, again, the University of Florida, national championship caliber program with the ability to get all the talent there. I think once his system gets rocking and rolling, you get the guys to fit what he was able to do at Louisiana, and it's going to be a threat. Now they need to up the talent level. I mean, Georgia's still obviously the star of the East, but if he can kind of get those players
they're going to be great. Are you telling me you? And again, I'm this is a loaded question, but I'm hearing you loud and clear. Two can't live at the top. So are you suggesting in 2 to 3 years the University of Florida is going to supplant Georgia at the top of the heap in the East?
I seem to think I was on your show 2 years ago where I got yelled at by the entire SEC nation.
Well, I'm only asking for a yes or no answer. I don't need a speech. I can turn on C-SPAN for that.
Yeah, I guess. They can at least hang with them. But again, you got to raise the talent level up to be able to hang with Georgia on a yearly basis now.
So what was that, a yes or no?
That they can supplant Georgia?
Yeah. You just got through identifying Billy Napier, is that it? You just got through identifying Billy Napier as the next Saban. I want to make sure I heard you correctly.
And Lombardi wrapped up in one. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it, though. Am I wrong?
No, but can hang with. And on the right year, can
That's
win
not
the
exactly
East
what
just
you
like
said
did
there a minute ago.
Yeah, he's going to be great. Florida's going to be. But again, go across. Like, is Jimbo Fisher going to be great? Yes. Is Brian Kelly going to be great? Yes. The SEC, you could be great and be 9-3.
Yeah, and you can also get fired like Dan Mullen. You could be sitting around hoping that a network calls you.
You're right. If he starts 1-3, three bad weeks like Dan Mullen has, and yeah, absolutely, you can go from hero to zero really fast. Obviously.
Okay, I know I'll be accused of being rude. I'm just trying to make sure we get all the knowledge from your head.
Well, yes, but if this will work, if obviously he doesn't go replace Bill Belichick as the next big thing in the NFL too. So yeah.
Oh, so you think that's possible too?
Of course. I mean, you know, it's Billy Napier. You know, he's the star. No, but Florida's obviously going to be good. I mean, it's still a national championship level program. But again,
Pete, if he's as good as you think he is, and he may very well be, why do you think LSU took a pass on him?
I'm not sure. Yeah, you know, once they really had their sights set on Brian Kelly, who is the proven guy at Notre Dame who was able to get the program that close, and he is the guy who has been able to get a program to a college football playoff, and all that was really standing in the way was just another level of talent. All right, you can't really argue
too much with
Brian
Kelly.
I thought
they had their heart set on Jimbo Fisher.
Oh, yeah. LSU had their heart set on Bill Belichick, if you talk to the right fans. But
I think it's pretty well known they wanted Jimbo Fisher.
Well, sure, who doesn't? So, I mean, that's just part of the SEC world. I mean, that's
Florida
everyone
State probably
wants
doesn't.
Everyone. You don't think Florida State would take him back right about now?
I don't think they would take him back now.
I think there's a couple people there that might still be interested if he could bring in the talent.
But if you can find one, I'd like to meet that person right now.
I would tell you like that. My niece is going to go there, and I'm guaranteeing if she knew college football, she would want him back there if he can get the same freshman class that he just brought in at Texas A&M.
So am I missing anything, Pete? Florida, you have a lot of teams jumbled up in the middle there. So I don't know if that's a safe way out or just an obvious way out.
I think, again, the talent level overall is so good that you're going to have another year, kind of like last year, with just about everyone's going to be bowl eligible. And when you do this kind of stuff for us, at least it's trying to come, okay, who is this? South Carolina's going to beat somebody in an upset. Mississippi State's going to beat somebody in an upset. You got to kind of dole that out across the board a little bit. So you're right. There's Alabama's good, Georgia's good, and then everyone else from there. Good luck with that. And it all goes kablooey if, say, Bryce Young gets hurt or you have another major quarterback injury, because the quarterback depth there, outside of like an LSU, just isn't there this year.
So Pete Futek, he's got Florida going 9-3, Alabama losing to Ole Miss, Georgia losing to Tennessee, and you have certainly provided us 15 minutes of entertainment that you could find nowhere else in the country today, Pete.
Absolutely. I'm glad I could be a part of this. Anytime, Paul.
And Pete, they just brought in my blood pressure medication, so I'm going to have to let it go. I need this medication right now. Hey, thank you very much. It's great to have you on. We're coming right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Okay, I'm getting a lot of criticism, Randy, from the way I treated Pete. When somebody makes a prediction like that, whether I agree or disagree, I feel like we need to find out more. And I'm not against Billy Napier. I've said very similar things about Billy Napier, but that's the highest prediction I've seen so far for the University of Florida. And I just wanted to be probative. And I think sometimes I come off as a jerk, and I don't mean to be, but we're just trying to hold some of these journalists' feet to the fire. Do you believe Alabama's going to lose at Ole Miss?
No.
Do you believe Tennessee's going to lose at home? Georgia is going to lose at home to Tennessee? That I just simply needed to ask those questions. I feel better.
Okay.
That wasn't. What do people say in this is kind of a Will Smith apology for anyone I may have offended?
Yeah, just a blanket.
If I offended anyone, I have reached out to Pete Futak to call me back, and so far he has refused. Dave is up next in Georgia. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, Dave. Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just great. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing because you just went through a thing of brainwashing. If you say something to somebody enough times, then they're going to start believing it. But
you're right.
I just wanted to call and tell you how important that you've been in my life. I'm a retired Marine. I got shot up pretty good. I had to lay around in bed for a while, and so I watched your show every day, and I really appreciate it. Even Jim, they come up with some pretty good stuff and entertainment and all that kind of stuff. It makes me feel well and feel good, you know, and everybody has their team, and everybody wants their team to be undefeated and win the national championship, but it's pretty hard to do in the SEC. I was fortunate enough to play in the SEC way back when, but it's
David, harder. When did you play?
Up in the 61, 62, and 63.
And you played in Auburn or Georgia or where?
In Auburn.
So you played for Coach Jordan?
Coach Jordan.
So tell me this about Coach Jordan, because, he does not get the credit he deserves. We mentioned, I believe, on D-Day, his service not only at Normandy but in the Pacific Theater. What was he like to be around?
Fatherly. He wasn't a
Right. He always seemed rather cerebral from what I've read about him. Smart guy.
He was. Yeah. He was. A lot of people don't know this, but he was actually did a he was at Normandy and went to the Pacific after the Germans surrendered.
Right.
Europe. And reason I went to Auburn, all my uncles and everything and went to the University of Georgia, and my wife's even a graduate of University of Georgia, but I actually signed the Grant Nave with Auburn because he come to see me. So, and my dad had a farm in Cobb County down in Georgia, and he came down and made a visit. My dad just fell in love with him and really liked him. So he was a straightforward guy. I mean, you didn't have to wonder if he was disappointed in you or mad at you. You knew it. He told you.
Yeah, I never got to know him. I got there right before he died, but I just remember talking to so many of his players and, you know, very well-known guys, as you would imagine, and they all said the same thing about him. I think he's such an underrated coach today because he won a national championship. He brought great pride and credit to that university, but it was so long ago that we just don't talk about him. And he was also overshadowed by the obvious, Coach Bryant.
Well, there's not very many of us left that played for him.
No,
I'm 79, so.
You're still young.
But Coach Bryant was a legend. But Shug Durden was a coach.
Yeah.
He was a legend himself.
Well, I tell you what, David, thank you so much for what you said about us, but you mean a great deal to us as well, and I continued all our best wishes to you, and I hope that we can bring you some comfort in the afternoon, and you continue to call us as well.
I will, and I wait for 3 o'clock every day. And I mean, that's just my deal, and I've enjoyed it. I enjoyed football, and I enjoyed hearing people talk about it. But I think a guy was trying to brainwash you a while ago.
Yeah, I think he was. And if you were in the service, as you were with the Marines, you know all about that. So I needed some sanity after that call, and you brought it to us, David. You be well. Take care of yourself. We're up against the break. I think the mower outside will be in here in a minute, in case you were wondering.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We still haven't had time for too much reaction to Pete Futek, because Listen, I applaud the guy. Anybody that comes on here and has anything other than Bama 12-0, Georgia 12-0 is impressive. And going with the Gators he has one up Connor O'Gara for the craziest prediction we've had so far. Let's check in with Justin, who is in Auburn. Hello, Justin.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I was just wanting to ask how you could actually take guys like Pete seriously, and how fans like myself are supposed to take Pete seriously. I mean, as somebody who keeps up with not just Auburn but all of the SEC, how could you predict that? How could you even say that Florida is a championship level program right now?
Let me ask you a question, because I'm sure you could tell I was struggling with his answers, but do respect his. I knew what he was going to say, so it didn't come as a shock, but. What I think people do, and you could hear it, is he's hung up on Florida tradition. And you know what? Florida doesn't have any recent tradition. The program has been garbage lately. And the sooner people wrap their arms around it, and I say this to my friend Tim Tebow as well, who no matter when you see Tim, Florida is back. At some point, Florida is back doing what it has done the last 10 years, fire coaches. I hope Napier works. I think he's sharp, but I thought the other three were pretty good too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing was they hired Mullen, and he was going to be the savior, the best thing since Urban Meyer, but yet all you heard was recruiting, 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 and how terrible it is down there. But yet he's sitting there saying that they're still a championship level program.
No, they're not. Justin, you think it? I said this to Buddy Martin today. We talked for his podcast. I don't know if it's the coaches. These are all good. I mean, Will Muschamp was a good coach. He failed at two places. Mm-hmm. McElwain, I think, had some good things going for him. Mullen was the best of the three. I wonder, is it the leadership at Florida? Is it the infrastructure? Is it the whole environment? There's more to it. Then, because of Dan Mullen, Tennessee wanted Dan Mullen. He was a coveted coach at the time. I think I unfortunately hung up on you. I apologize. I got to quit moving my arms while we talk. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Johnny is up next. Hello, Johnny.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. So the boy from Notre Dame that wants the Southerners to come up to the North and kick their butts in the winter,
right?
Because, you know, I think that he's lost his ever-loving mind, because the only thing that he's thinking is, okay, if we get the teams from the South up to the North in the winter, well, the ice will be on the ground and we can slow down their team speed. Because obviously they can't handle us on neutral site, and they sure as hell don't want to bring their tails down to the South in August and in September when our teams are forged in the fires.
Hey, Johnny, have any of these guys ever been to have they ever been to Fayetteville, Arkansas in November? I was there a couple of years ago for the Arkansas LSU game. It was 16 degrees.
Yeah, no. I mean, he thinks the Southern teams have won just about everything except when Ohio State has Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
And the truth is the teams from the Big Ten do not have the interior speed that we have in the linemen. I mean, they can go out and recruit receivers from the South and things like that and get some skill players. But at the end of the day, it's those guys that are 325 pounds coming off the edge and at the middle who can run the 4.440s that they can't get.
You're
and
right.
That's where – and so they're hoping they can stick us on an icy field so that our team speed gets neutralized to the point that they have a striking chance. But no more – he doesn't want us up there because that would just dispel his mess. But he dang sure don't want to come down to the South in August because they will be cramping in the first quarter. And it doesn't matter which team he wants to bring down or who he wants to bring. You just bring their little butts on when it's hot, and we'll show them what it's all about.
Well, Johnny, I agree. You're right. You're dead on. Thank you for the call. Let's quickly talk to Don in Kentucky. Hey, Don. Hey, Don, go right ahead. I enjoyed hearing myself again. It was rough enough the first time. That happens when you're on phone, you're listening to the car radio, and not the call. Anyway, would have liked to have heard him. He was a Kentucky fan who wanted to talk about how Florida is struggling. We will continue with more of your phone calls. Again, Futak predicted that Florida goes 9-3, finishes ahead of everyone other than Georgia. And we'll talk more. By the way, Will Levis joining us next hour, the University of Kentucky quarterback tomorrow. We will go across the pond to talk to a famous coach who is in the promised land. Thought we were in the promised land. We're coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.